Let's just pray as we sit. May I speak now in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was wondering if you've experienced anything recently that's been truly awful. Now, if you follow Peterborough United, as I do, because having lived near Peterborough, then their results have been truly awful. We use that in a sort of quite negative way, don't we? An awful experience. We had an awful time. We got awfully wet. But just to think about another way of it being used, to be full of awe. We would talk about now an awesome experience, but an experience that fills us full of awe and wonder. Our two readings, the reading from Isaiah and from Luke, are two different experiences of the same thing. Two experiences of God's presence and God's power in the temple in Jerusalem and at the lakeside. And if we stop and think about it, both those places were workplaces, places of work, two quite different works. The temple, a place of worship, a place of sacrifice, a place of observance, a place of regular worship and practice, and the lakeside where people laboured fishing. Two different places, but into those places, into both places, comes the transforming power of God and also his call. The two things are almost fused together, aren't they? God's awesome power, his transforming power, and also his call, demand on the individuals who are there. In the temple, God is truly awesome. And the temple would have been a pretty awesome place as it was, if you stop and think about it. If we think about our great cathedrals, great places of worship, they're biggity big, aren't they? Oversized. Everything is enhanced. And so it would have been with the temple. It would be drawing people from all over the Jewish world into God's presence. It has to go some to be better than that. And in Isaiah's vision, it does, doesn't it? It does. It's rooted in the temple worship, but it goes much further. It goes much further. What is happening, it seems to me, is that God is coming down into the worship of the temple, into Israel's worship and praise, and transforming it and renewing it, repurposing it, reorientating it. Because we all know that worship can become inward looking, institutions can become inward looking, and what God is doing with Isaiah is forcing him outwards with a message, a disturbing message. Things are going to be renewed and reorientated. And then we come to the other place where God's power is revealed. The scene at the lakeside, more mundane, more work-like, a place of labour. And it starts in a mundane way. What is Jesus doing? Well, he's using the boats to be heard and seen better. The boats become a pulpit, which is nothing more than a platform, just an aid to being seen and being heard. And there Jesus teaches. He goes out and he sits down, the sign of authoritative teaching. So this is not accidental, this is intentional. Jesus is intending this. He's not just taking an opportunity, or perhaps he is in a way of seeing the boats there. But there's something deeper, more serious at work. And then to Simon Peter, put out your nets into deep water for a catch. We go up to North Norfolk, Wells next to the sea. and the fishing boats come in the morning, I don't think I'd want to go and talk to one of those guys and say to him, you've got to go out again. You've got to go out and put your nets down into the deep water. But Jesus does, because he knows. He's the Lord. Lord of sea and sky. Lord of everything. Everything is in his power. Everything is held by that awesome power of God that flows perfectly through Jesus, through his life and through his ministry. And then from Simon, the very human. Master, we have fished all night. We have labored all night and caught nothing. We've worked all night and caught nothing. Sadly, that's often been my life experience and probably the rest of ours. We work all night and we catch nothing. We labor and we catch nothing. Simon, Peter, is many things, but he does say the right thing at the right time. And there he does. Words of obedience. But because you say so, we will. And then things start to get crazy awesome. Nets begin to break and boats begin to sink. What is this abundance? What is this abundance? So often we are with a God in the Gospels who is abundant, who's scarily abundant, who goes over the top, we would say. Water into wine. We have a God who is about abundance. I think those fish in those nets are about the scope and the depths of God's love and God's grace. And if we stop and think about it, in a way, we're in that net. We are caught up in God's love. We are caught up in the scope of God's love, in the awesomeness of God's love. Awe isn't a quantity, is it? You can't define it. It's a quality. That's what the message is here, I think, with all those fish. And the nets do not break. And the boats do not sink. God's love is boundless. Peter, Simon, realizes the situation. At that moment, he stands alongside Isaiah. Go away from me, for I am a sinful man. Go away from me. It's so often the case in the presence of God, isn't it, that we see the awesomeness of God, the wonder of God, the scope of God's love and the dimensions of his grace and his transformative power. And in that blinding light, we see ourselves better. That is the beginning, I think, of true humility, true acceptance, who God is and who we are. Those two great truths, the truth of God and the truth about ourselves, they meet. Meet for Isaiah and for Simon Peter. They meet in that moment. A moment of realization. I am a sinful man, I am a sinful person, I am part of a sinful and broken humanity. That's for Simon, soon to be Peter, and his friends, his colleagues who are with him, with the boats. A moment of brokenness, a broken moment of insight. But from Jesus' assurance, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Interesting words, isn't it? Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. When we, as Christians, come to faith, I think sometimes we can be afraid that who we are will be lost, effaced, negated. I found that not to be the case. We remain who we are with our skills, our talents, our gifts, our personalities, our humanity, because those are God-given things. Jesus called men ordinary people like us. He knew full well what he was doing. As I said right at the start, this is intentional. This is what he is doing. It's not accidental. He intends it to be so. He goes looking. That's part of the scandal of the gospel, isn't it? That God in Christ comes looking for us. He comes looking not to condemn us or terrify us, not to efface who we are, but to use who we are in full knowledge and full understanding of who we are, because, in fact, he made us to use us to transform and call us. To use us as we are and where we are. The temple in Jerusalem and the lakeside, two different contexts, perhaps as different as you could imagine. Chalk and cheese, you might say. But in fact, they are the same. They are occasions and spaces into which God's awesome power can and does flow. The way that power and awesomeness is manifested is different because they are different places. But it is the same power, the same awe, the same wonder. And with that power is something else. God's power and God's awfulness is not displayed just to say, wow, look at that, isn't that amazing? It's displayed to change and to transform, to challenge and to disturb, and to send out. We use the word mission a lot, don't we? In my understanding, mission is about a God who has first moved to us, who moves to us in creation, in scripture, in history, in his church, and in our own experience. The God who moves to us in power, but also in humility. Because Jesus also demonstrates God's humility and God's humanity. God has first moved to us, and then we move, and then we go. And we go out into a difficult and challenging world, into a world that may not be ready to hear what God has put on our hearts. That's where God calls us to be, where we are, and where He is going, out into our world. God calls us and still calls us and asks us to respond, because we have a dramatic response, don't we, finally? Simon, Peter, and his friends, his colleagues, leave everything, including a great quantity of fish, and they follow. There's another sermon there, really, isn't there? what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? It's staggering, isn't it? He's left everything. And they go. We're asked, in our own way, in our own places, in our own time, to make similar responses. Probably not to leave everything and go, but the power of that response and the wholeheartedness of that response is there for us to ponder and reflect upon. The demand of the call and the response is for us this week. So I do pray that you will have this week an awful one that you may see in some way, on some occasion, the awesome power of God, the power to transform, to reorientate, to call, and to send. Amen.